Welcome in to another episode of We're Talking. Tonight we're talking football. We're talking Raging Cajun football with Dave Amato. Dave, how are you this evening?
I am doing much better since people won't hear this until tomorrow or the next day or whenever it's going to be posted. But I think we both finished watching the Cajuns beat SMU in basketball, and it was a really good game. So I'm feeling good right now. This would have been a very depressing conversation had they lost that game.
I agree with you there. It's one of those things. It's one of those things that you, again, no moral victories on our side, but it's one of those things that I thought in previous years, the team, when they got down, just like when they got down to Louisiana Tech, could have easily folded, but they have not done that the last two games. And I would not have been happy if they did, but at the same time, the Cajuns found a way to come back and win. So,
they got to do me a favor. They got to quit getting down by double digits late in the second half and making comebacks, because I don't know if my heart can take it.
I understand that completely. Mine is I'm sitting here trying to grab some water and drink but yeah, it was a fun game and a
very good game.
I thought for the most part Cajuns did an excellent job in the half court defense, which they did not do in the first half of the Louisiana Tech game, in my opinion.
No, I agree. I agree with that. I thought overall they played very well. Greg Williams was a big spark off the bench. He played extremely well late in both games. He's been the reason the last two games we've been able to make those comebacks, because he's been big in both of them. So, but I think the team's playing well. And look, I like the depth on this team. I like the shooting on this team. I like the, you know, we've got some inside presence with Brown and Lewis. So yeah, and Joe Charles is starting to step up his game. I think this is going to be a fun season. We just got to keep it going.
Well, we're going to talk football though now. And
that's right.
Get off that. I mean, it's getting past your bedtime. I know how you are. You know, as you're getting older, you have to go to bed earlier.
And I do.
And as I'm the one who's saying, let's get this thing done so I can go to sleep.
Right. No,
let's roll on in. Texas State, a team that has been, if you're a Texas State fan especially, but as a Sun Belt fan too, I think you've got to be disappointed with Texas State's overall play this year. I mean, they did have the one big win against App State earlier in the year, but at the same time, they, in my opinion, they've really underachieved. Your thoughts, just kind of open remarks there, and before we get into positions like we normally do.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree with you. This is a team that I think every you start thinking, when are they going to cross that border, right? When are they going to get to what you think they can be? I mean, they've got the facilities, they've got the money, they've got everything that you could think of that should make them good. And every year they disappoint. And I thought this year, I really expected them to take that step forward this year. And it doesn't seem that it happened. So I think their fans are disappointed. I think the expectation was this team was going to be a bowl team this year.
Most definitely. Let's start with their head coach. You and I talked a little bit off air, wondering what is the decision? I know they've got I think the athletic director is fairly new, but at the same time, this is I know I'm going to butcher his name. Jake
Spadaval
is in his fourth season. I'm sure he got a 5-year contract, but at the same time, I don't know what the buyout and all is that, but this has got to be definitely something is your opinion that it depends on how the game goes?
I think it does to some extent. Look, he could be gone either way. But I think if he loses, I do believe that is going to be the end of Jake Spadaval at Texas State. I don't think there's going to be a question. If he wins, it will be his best season there yet. He was 4-8 last year, and he's been 2-10, 3-9. And if he gets to 5-7, you're seeing some improvement. Maybe they give him one more year with a very short leash early in the season. But if he loses and your best year in 4 years is 4-8, I just don't know how you can keep him as the head coach. And I look, there's many reasons why they struggled this year. We're going to get into it with injuries and some other things. But the reality is you can't go 4 years and you have your best record being 4-8. I just don't know how you keep a coach. Fans are going to get very, very aggravated by that.
Most definitely. Well, let's start out. Let's go to the offense. Let's start out. Let me see before I mess you up here on our notes. Let's go ahead and start with the quarterback. I almost threw you a curveball and said, let's start with the offensive line and work our way backwards. But let's go ahead and go straight to the quarterback with Brady McBride.
Well, it's been Brady McBride for the last few years. And that was an experiment that failed. And they decided to go elsewhere. Brady McBride transferred to App State. And he's the backup to Chase Bryce there. And they had a number of guys in the system who were transfers from big-time colleges. Ty Evans was at NC State. Tanner Pruitt was at Arizona State. And they had another guy from Baylor. But they reached into the transfer portal and got a guy we are very familiar with, Lane Hatcher from Arkansas State. And Lane's a very good quarterback. He's a guy who started his career at Alabama as a walk-on. Transferred from there to Arkansas State and has been a part-time starter at Arkansas State since he was there. So he's a good one.
So what do you think, what is his best attributes? Is he going to pocket passer? Are they going to want to move him around, or is he a running quarterback?
No, Lane Hatcher is a drop back pocket passer for sure. He's not a huge guy. He's 6'2", 10", so he's not a real, real big guy. He can move in the pocket well enough to give him chances to throw the ball downfield, but he is not a runner. He is a guy who wants to sling it all over the field, and he did that for Arkansas State for the 3 years he was there. His disappointment at Arkansas State was he was never the main guy. They always played a two-quarterback system. And it really got frustrating, I think, for him for a long time that he never could take the reins, even though he put up very good numbers there. And he's putting up good numbers at Texas State. The problem is they've got other issues outside of, you know, the quarterback position. But he's been solid there. Not great. He's got 19 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. He does turn the ball over a little more than you would want. But look, he's a guy who can sling it. He's got a strong arm, and he's a very, very capable quarterback.
Well, this is one that I think that advantaged Cajun's defensive line, because we've consistently shown that if you're not going to be able to get outside of the pocket to use your legs, you're going to have trouble with the Cajun's defensive line.
Yeah, you know, you hit the nail on the head, and I was going to mention that. We've been much, even the last two seasons, we've been much better with quarterbacks who are, you know, guys who just like to drop back and throw the ball rather than guys who can move around enough and be a threat with their legs. Those guys give us trouble. And Lane Hatcher is not going to be a guy we got to worry about with that. So I do give the advantage to the Cajuns defensive line. And if we put some blitz packages together, it could really get ugly for them.
What are we looking back at the running back position for the Bobcats?
Yeah, that's been a huge problem for this team. They just haven't been able to run the ball at all. They reached into the transfer portal. Same thing. Went to Arkansas State. They got Lincoln Pear, who was who's the main guy at Arkansas State for the last couple of years. And he came to Arkansas State with the assumption he was going to split time with a guy by the name of Calvin Hill. Calvin Hill, more of a kind of a shifty guy in the backfield. And Pear would be the guy who's more of a, even though he's not a big guy, he was going to be more of the power back for him. He just has not been able to transfer that into success. He's only averaging 3.7 yards a carry. His long has only been 22 yards. He's got 4 touchdowns, but he's just not been the guy. And then they lost Calvin Hill for the season. So now they're down to a couple of guys behind him who haven't put up very good numbers either. So running the ball's been a big, big problem for this team.
Do you know what happened to Calvin Hill? Because I remember something, but
I thought – Yeah, I thought I read it was an elbow issue, but I don't know that for sure. I was trying to look it up before we got on the call a couple of days ago, but I think that's what it was, but I don't remember for sure. But he's a shifty guy, and he gave a lot of teams trouble when he was in the game. He was really a threat out of the backfield too, because once he caught the ball, he was so speedy. And he's a 5'8" guy, but he's so fast. But that's hurt them. So they've gone to a couple of guys on the bench. But like I said, neither one of them have been really major threats for them.
No, Calvin Hill, though, has always been – I like the way he plays. I like watching him play. So fun.
Absolutely.
Sorry to hear that he's out for the season. Let's move on to the wide receivers. What are we looking there? Where – if it's not the running back position, quarterback – it does okay. Is this going to be the strength of their offense at the wide receiving corps?
Well, it would have been. And that's going to be a big question mark, because I have not seen the depth chart come out yet, the weekly depth chart. I know what their depth chart looks like. I just don't know what the weekly one does look like. But they've got some problems. Ashton Hawkins, who has been their best wide receiver, is out for the season with a collarbone injury. He's missed the last three games. He's not going to play against us for sure. And he had 56 catches and seven touchdowns. Like, he's been their main guy. But the two guys behind him who are really good receivers, they're both have missed the last two games as well. And I don't know if they're going to be there either. Marcel Barbie, who was their main guy last year, he's missed three games in a row. And Javen Banks has missed two games in a row. So depending on whether either or both of those guys can or can't go, it could be a major blow to this team, because that's your 1, 2, and 3 best receivers on the team.
That also gives them the opportunity to find out if some of these younger guys or newer guys can play and what they can do. And that could be an advantage to their wide receivers, not knowing who is who to look for there, I guess.
Yeah. The good news for the Cajuns is they've seen the two guys who have stepped up, Julian Ortega Jones, who's a transfer from Bowling Green, and Rontavious Groves, who's a transfer from North Carolina. They've played the last couple of games because they've had to, because the main guys have been out. So at least we've seen them, but the reality is they're not the guys who have been their go-to guys. So it's going to be a little bit of a challenge. And until game day, we might not know if these other two guys are going to walk on the field or not. Like, I think the hope is they were one of them or both of them might be ready, but there's just no way of knowing unless he puts out a depth chart, a 2-deep that says that either one of them is going to play. And I haven't heard a press conference yet to see if he said anything.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything as well. So are they going to use the tight end, or is it strictly a blocking situation? No, I shouldn't say strictly, mostly a blocking situation at the tight end position?
Yeah, they have not gone to the tight end much at all. The combined, their two main targets as tight ends have 11 catches. Titus Lyons has 6 and Tyler Huff has 5. And I think the 5 that Tyler Huff haven't even been for over 20 yards, altogether. So neither one of them are real big threats from the tight end position. And, I think that's been a big problem for Texas State. This team doesn't have a very good running game, and then you lose all these weapons at wide receiver. Now all of a sudden you're relying on your quarterback, who can't run around, who is not a guy who likes to run around a lot and get yardage with his legs, and he's throwing to guys that he's not really comfortable with. So it's really been, the last couple of games have been a struggle for them. Now they did win last week, but it was against a bad Arkansas State team, but they've lost the 3 previous games before that, all without those, main cogs on that team.
Is this an opportunity once again, though? I mean, because if I'm looking, all right, we're not running the ball very well. Our main wide receivers are out. We've got tight ends that, although be it they haven't caught a whole lot of passes, that could be a little – now, the hope is if they start throwing to the tight ends that the Cajuns adjust quickly to that. But
sure.
you know, but that could be another opportunity if you're looking for the bright side of Texas State.
Yeah, look, I think they're going to have to be creative on offense because they've got, you know, obviously some holes to fill. And yeah, I think early in the game, that would be a great opportunity for them to make some, you know, adjustments and go to the tight ends, because we're not going to be expecting that. Jake Spadaval knows better than I do whether these guys are capable of carrying the load for them. But if they have any, absolutely. But yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, if he's if he's got any confidence in at all in him, yeah, I'd go to him a couple of times and see if we, because chances are we're not going to be covering him like we expect them to catch a lot of passes, right? So that could be a good opportunity for him. Finally, I don't want to give him a game plan, but again, Jake Spadaval knows more about football than
I do. Yeah. Well, I think if their hope is to throw the tight end, trust me when I say I think that'll be an easy adjustment for our defensive coaches to make. So if that is their hope to win a game by throwing to the tight ends. So, but moving on to the offensive line, what goes on there?
Yeah, look, they're not bad. They have a couple of really good ones. Dalton Cooper, 6'6", 300, and Kyle Hergel, 6'2", 300. Not the biggest of guys, you know, not the 330, 340 guys. Dalton Cooper's a left tackle, and Kyle Hergel's the right guard. They were both expected to be probably first or second team, all Sunbelt type players. Hergel came over from North Dakota, and Cooper is a sophomore for him. They've been probably their mainstays there. Russell Baker or Silas Robinson will be at the center position. Silas Robinson was started at Arkansas. He didn't start. He started his career at Arkansas. He was mostly a special teams guy there. He's come in and kind of taken over the role there. And right tackle. They're not real big and physical. Again, their biggest guy is 320 pounds on the offensive line. They're all right at 300 pounds. So I we might have an advantage there. We got some big, strong kids up front, right? Zion Hill and Mason Narcisse and those type of guys can really make some noise with these guys. And this offensive line's been kind of spotty. Again, they're good in a couple of positions, but weak in some other ones. So we might be able to take advantage of that.
Good deal. Well, let's keep rolling. We started a little late tonight. No sense taking a break. Let's keep rolling along here as what was that? Oh, you're from New Orleans.
Yeah.
Old Man Rivers, where the music keeps rolling along.
That's it.
I saw used to go see the Sheiks there. I remember David Allen Coe used to play there a lot, but
David Allen Coe.
Moving along, defense. What are we going to expect off the defensive style there? What is their?
Yeah, they play a 3-3-5, so they will have a couple extra defense. One extra defensive back there. He kind of can play a little bit of a linebacker position, move up, or they'll put in a nickel back, depending on the down and distance. Up front, their best player is Levi Bell. He's 6'1", 276. He's 58. He's got 58 tackles, and he's tied for the lead in sacks. He's probably a guy we got to keep an eye on. He's probably the main focus on that front three.
And what position does he play?
So he's kind of he'll be a defensive tackle, because again, this is a team that plays true nose guard too. But even though they play a true nose guard, they play three down linemen. Not any of them are your traditional nose tackle type guys. They're not the big 300 and some odd pound guy who just stuffs the run. They're all smaller guys. Bell's 276. Nico Ezidor is 280. And Nelson, and I will butcher his name, Madanasaur, is 270. So they really aren't big and physical on the defensive line, which is good for us because our offensive line has struggled off and on during the season. So maybe we can, without having those big physical guys, we have an opportunity to do some damage with them.
Good deal. What are we looking at on the next three then?
Yeah, at the linebacker position, they've got a really good one. Sione Tupou, who seems to have been there for a long time. I remember him the last 2-3 years against us has been really a disruptor. He's going to be the guy in the middle. He leads the team in tackles. He's got 2 interceptions on the season. He can kind of play as look, I can stop the run, and he can back up into coverage and cover some tight ends. Watch the middle of the field. He's a really good player. He'll be flanked by London Harris and Jordan Revels. And look, their linebackers are 1, 2, and 3. Their main starting linebackers are 1, 2, and 3 in tacklers on the season on the team. So that's probably the strength of their defense. That's where they're probably the most effective. But it all starts with Tupou up there. He's the guy to really keep an eye on.
Good deal. Defensive back with 5 of them. You mentioned who is the guy that you said that I'm assuming is there a guy, I should say, that's kind of that linebacker defensive back strong safety type hybrid there? Is there an individual or several guys?
Several guys. He'll move some guys around. The Jordan Mask is probably the one that does the most kind of hybrid of the positions. But he also will split some time with another gentleman, Torrey Spears, that'll play. Torrey Spears is a big kid. He's 6'3". Now he's only 195 pounds, but he's 6'3". He can move around and kind of step up into that linebacker position, kind of step back. The Jordan Mask will do a little bit of it as well. But those are big defensive backs. They're 1'6'3", 1'6'1". They both play more of that safety role, but again, they'll step up and play that extra linebacker when they need to stuff the run.
They look like they've got some pretty good height overall in their defensive backfield. I mean, not towering, but 6'3", 6'1", 6', 5'11". I mean, that's still a decent size for.
Absolutely. Now, there are 2 cornerbacks, Alonzo Edwards Jr., he's 5'11", 180, and then Chris Mills, the transfer from Missouri, is 6', 180. Those will be the starting corners. They are not they're not small. They're not Eric Garrett small, right? They're 5'11 and 6', so they're bigger guys. But some of the backup guys, like you said, and most of their safeties are in that 6'1", 6'2", 6'3". Size frame. So they've got some bigger guys out there, and you're going to need them. Look, when you're going up against the Michael Jefferson, you need a guy that can kind of body up on a guy like that. Cause Michael Jefferson has proven this year that he is a special talent, and you need a small cornerback's going to struggle against a guy like Michael Jefferson. He's just so physically better than a lot of the guys that he's going up against this year.
Had an opportunity. I met Michael Jefferson's father outside of the stadium this weekend in Tallahassee, and I just told him how impressed I was with his son and that he played a hell of a game. And he said, thank you, but he was disappointed with the outcome. And I said, we all are, trust me. I said, but I just wanted to tell you, that I've enjoyed watching your son play. So,
yeah. Hey, look, it's going to be disappointing to see him leave the program, but he's really put his mark on it. I think we're going to see him play, at the next level. And look, I don't want to pat myself on the back, but I was the first person to say I thought this kid was going to be special before he ever walked on the field. I watched his highlights when he was at Alabama State, and I said, this kid, like, he's good. He's just, and we needed him at that time, and he didn't put up huge numbers as far as catches last year, but he put up huge numbers when he caught the ball, and he was just a difference maker, and he's grown into that role this year.
Absolutely. So one of the greatest names in football here on special teams, I will let you go ahead and do the from the punter for Texas.
Oh, yeah. So every time, and this is his second year, and I remember talking about him. If I open an Irish bar at any point in my life, I am going to call it Seamus O'Kelly's. I just think that is the greatest name for a Irish pub possible. But Seamus O'Kelly is their punter. And, yeah, whether you love him or hate him, you got to love his name. It's as good as it gets.
it's not quite Boogie Knight, but it's almost there.
It's not Boogie Knight, but he would be on the All Sun Belt name team. I mean, you would definitely put him up there. Boogie Knight would probably be the number one guy, and then Seamus O'Kelly might be right behind him.
We might have to look at that for our final episode. Do an All Sun Belt name team.
We could do that. There's enough players out there. We'd have to go through all the rosters, but I'm sure we could come up with some really good ones.
Absolutely. So very good punter. Been very consistent for them.
He's only got a 40 yard average, but he's got a long of 68. Half of his punts are not returned, so he gets a lot of hang time on them. And 12 of the 69 punts that he's had have been downed inside the 20. So he's a guy that, you know, he can knock it down inside the 20, and he can make it where it's tough for defenders to return it. So he's going to put it high up in the air and hope that you can't get a running start. And look, Eric Garris played phenomenal. But if he doesn't get a chance to return him, it takes away him as a weapon.
Absolutely. What are we looking at from the field goal kicking perspective?
Seth Keller's their guy. He's 12 of 14 on a season. He has not tried one over 50 yards, and he's 2 of 3 from 49 yards. But inside of 40 yards, he's 10 of 11. So he's very good for 39, 40 and shorter. The 150-yard kick that they've had to kick this year, their kickoff specialist, Mason Shipley, has been the guy. And he missed it. So obviously once they get inside the red zone and they don't get a touchdown, they're pretty almost automatic from a kicking perspective.
Okay. Return specialists.
I put in my notes, it's going to get muddy here. Ashton Hawkins has been their punt return guy, but obviously he's out for the season, and Rontavious Groves has kind of taken over that role, but he has not been very effective back there. He's averaging about 5 yards a return on eight punt returns. And one of those was for 34 yards. So if you back that one kick out of there, he's really averaging about a yard a return. So he has not filled in like Hawkins was. Hawkins was very good. He was averaging almost 15 yards a return. But without him, they've struggled to figure out, who's going to be the guy. But Rontavious Groves is probably going to be the one back there because he's been consistent catching it. And I think that's what they're looking for at this point.
What about on the kickoff returns?
Yeah, kickoff returns, same situation. Donovan Moore has been their main guy on kickoffs, but not an average that jumps out at you. He's only averaging about 22 and a half yards a return, and he only has a long of 29. So he's really not – he's getting it and getting his 25 yards. So if we can kick it, where it's returnable, worst case scenario, they're getting the ball at the 25 yard line. So not a guy who's been a real threat returning in kickoffs. They have a few other guys who have returned them, but nobody's averaging over 20 yards a return.
Okay. So any last comments on the game?
Look, a couple of things. Their running game has struggled so much. They're going to try to establish a run, but if we can really shut that running game down and make them one-dimensional and throw to some of these other wide receivers, I think that gives us a really good advantage. I put in my notes, I really think this game could end up being very similar to the 9 previous games that we played them, where we just take advantage of them and win by double digits and run away with it. Or it's going to be a defensive struggle game where neither one of the offenses can do anything. And I'm not saying that the defenses are going to be that good. The offenses may be that poor, and it may turn into a very low scoring 3-point game or a 5-point game. So it has the potential to be a Cajun runaway, or it has the potential to end up being a really low scoring field goal battle.
Okay. Way to be very decisive there.
But I did in my notes put my prediction as Cajuns 34, Texas State 20. So I'm going with the assumption that we're going to do what we've done with Texas State for the last 9 years. But I still have a feeling that, man, I don't want this to be a defensive struggle where it comes down to kick or field goals.
Well, I think Chandler Fields is going to have a much better game. I think when you look at the fact that, and you can say what you want, it was their third string or their fourth string that was in there. But at the same time, their third or fourth string, Texas State would take every one of them on their team now.
No doubt.
I think it's going to be looking forward to the game. So I'll say it that way.
Yeah, no, I am too. I think, look, you know, hopefully this is not our last preview of the season. Hopefully we get one more, and it's going to come down to how the Cajuns perform on Saturday, whether we do another one or not. Well, we can still do another one, but whether it's about a game, whether it has to do with a game or not. I think the Cajuns are going to come out there with the attitude that they are ready to win and go take this game, knowing that it's a must win game for them. And I think they're going to come out and they're going to play hard. And I really believe they're going to pull it out. And I do believe Chandler Fields with an extra week of practice, Chandler Fields coming off of that second half where he started to kind of put some things together. I think he's going to be much better. He's not going to be under the pressure he was with Florida State. And I think he's got a chance to really put up some numbers and gain some confidence. So I'm hoping that, you know, he goes out there and really performs well.
Absolutely. Well, Dave, I appreciate your time as always. I always appreciate the insight. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. I hope y'all have a wonderful time together.
Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to appreciate that. All right, guys. We've been talking football. We've been talking Raging Cajun football. None of that sounds correct, but we have been talking football with Dave. And is it Raging Dave or Dave is Raging? We're never.
Raging Dave. Hey, one last thing. I want to give a shout out to Million Dollar Mullet's little brother. I don't know if he played or not tonight, but LSU Eunice is now 6-0. And his little brother is playing for them. He's at least on the roster. And they are now 6-0. Before we got on, I did check to see that they won tonight. I think they played Angelo College or someone like that. But they did win, and they are 6-0. So shout out to Million Dollar Mullet and his younger brother. I guess he would be the mini mullet.
You know, I see the final 58-48, but does not have a box score.
Box score, yeah. And I did reach out to Ryan to ask him, you know, as brother playing much, and he said he's working hard, and he's a freshman at LSUE and he's trying to get some playing time, but he didn't I don't know, there's no stats on the LSUE website to see how they're doing, so, but I do know that they are 6-0 and hey, pulling for him, even though their name says LSU, I'm still pulling for him.
Former Cajun Byron Starks is the head coach there.
That is right. So, yeah, absolutely. So good luck to him on the rest of the season and the team on the rest of the season. And one last shout out to my daughter's. She's a cheerleader for the Acadiana Christian Defenders in a homeschool association, won the Division IV National Championship 2 seasons in a row. They took a win over Central Virginia Disciples 38-30. So congrats to the Acadiana Christian Defenders.
Most definitely. Tell her I'm looking forward to seeing y'all at a baseball game, and I'll give her some softball tickets as well. So
she will love you for it.
And I'm not sure we can actually call him the Million Dollar Mullet anymore, though. I mean, he cut his hair.
Well, he kinda does need to change his name.
Yeah, he looks a little cheesy, if you ask me. I mean, but at the same time, I'm still only about 800K. I'm not quite there.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. He can call himself whatever he wants to call himself, because I'm not going to tell him that he's going to change his name, because
I'm not going to tell him in person.
No, not in person. Not in person. Absolutely not.
I'll mention it on the broadcast, but I'm not going to tell him in person. All right, Dave, we've done enough fooling around.
We have.
Appreciate it as always. And you've been listening to We're Talking tonight. We've been talking Raging Cajun football with Dave Amato.
Any redistribution or reproduction of any part or all of the contents in any form is prohibited, except, who the hell are we kidding? Distribute it, share it, put it in your podcast, broadcast it, or put it on social media. Just give credit where credit's due.